I'm joined by Ali Al-Ahmad. He is director of IGA, is joining us from Washington. Like always, many, many thanks, Ali Al-Ahmad, for joining us later on in the program. I'm going to be joined by Hussein Abdullah. He's a human rights activist. He's going to be joining us from Mobile in Alabama. But first off, let's go to Washington and ask Ali Al-Ahmad his reading of the situation right now in Bahrain, especially now that those Saudi troops have stepped in. Ali Al-Ahmad.
Well, the Saudi troops' invasion of Bahrain is exactly the same as the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Let us remember, it was the Afghani government at the time that invited the Soviet army into Afghanistan in the 1980s. So we are talking about a similar situation here. And the United States should remember, and those people in the White House should remember, that the United States considered the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan as an invasion. And the Saudi army going into Bahrain is an invasion because it is aimed at attacking or containing the population of Bahrain, the majority of the population. So let us be clear from the beginning that the Saudi invasion of Bahrain is an invasion under international law, and that invasion should be resisted violently and peacefully, both, because under international law, fighting with these troops is legal and considered legitimate. So, and of course, what the Saudis have done, this is not the first time they intervene in their neighbors' affairs. They have done that in Egypt and in Tunisia, as we saw, and now they are doing that in Yemen and in Bahrain. So that, in fact, that is going to weaken the Saudi monarchy and shorten the life of the Bahraini monarchy, because now it is very clear that the Saudi government decided to help it's falling monarchy in Bahrain, but it's too late. It's too late. The tide has already moved, and we are talking about a matter of 2 weeks at the maximum when we will see Al Khalifa and their the supporters out of Bahrain.
Of course, Ali Al-Ahmad, under what you were explaining, I draw that it will not help. It will not give time to the Al Khalifa family nor to the Saudi kingdom itself. But with the circumstances that we have right now, should we really call it, like the opposition calls it in Bahrain, an invasion of the country by the Saudi troops, or perhaps a help of a larger neighbor to a smaller neighbor to be able to hold its grip on power, Ali Al-Ahmad?
Look, the charter of the GCC does not allow for this. The charter for the GCC allows for member countries to help each other in when it comes to foreign threats or external threats. It does not allow the members or the government to request that help, especially military help, against the citizens of that country. So now we are talking about two different issues. This is an internal situation, and I remind everyone that it happened in Afghanistan, and it was called an invasion. One of the recent examples of the one country sending troops in another country is Liberia and Sierra Leone. The Liberian former President Charles Taylor now is in The Hague being tried for crimes against humanity because he sent his troops to support the government in Sierra Leone against its people and committed crimes. So the Saudi king, his defense minister, the United Arab Emirates, and the Kuwait emirs are all now on the receiving end of an international indictment for crimes against humanity.
Right. You know, the interesting thing about this thing is that it is coming right after the trip of Secretary Gates to Bahrain. What do you think has been going on there during his trip? now that we see the developments in Bahrain unfolding?
The United States is supporting the King of Bahrain, and that was said by Hillary Clinton just 10 days ago, and they're supporting the Yemeni president against their people, and that is no question about it. Gates' statement about reforms is just was really a smoke screen, because the United States can and is in a position to ask the Bahraini monarchy to implement real reforms, and they had over 30 years of that opportunity, and they never exercised it. In fact, the United States has been working against the people of Bahrain. I give you an example of that. The United States has blocked the entry of leading human rights and democracy activists from Bahrain, Dr. Abdeljalil Singais, Mr. Abdul Hadi Khawaja, and Dr. Mohammed Saeed, and Mr. Hussein Mishema, all leading human rights activists from entering the United States. These people did not call for violence. They don't have any relationship to violence. The United States blocked them from entering the United States to have a dialogue with members of Congress. This is, you know, talking about dialogue, the United States talking about dialogue, talking about the Bahraini should have dialogue with their government, and the United States prevent Bahraini activists from having dialogue with members of Congress. The United States is on the wrong side of history. And this is very typical. You know, Obama is another Carter, and I said this before in the interviews. They say the right things, but they do the wrong things. Carter said the Shah is a great leader 6 months before he fell down, and this is exactly the same thing. Obama is repeating Carter's policy of supporting these dictators while singing a different song, but this is not all bad news, because it was under Carter where the Iranian revolution occurred, and now it's under Obama where the Egyptian and Tunisian revolution, and I think even Obama is going to do worse than Carter, that Yemen and Bahrain and maybe other countries will have their revolution succeed, because in Bahrain, the game is over, it's done. There is no day for Al-Khalifa to stay in Bahrain, and the Saudi support or American support is going to be insufficient. In fact, the United States now has lost its fifth fleet in Bahrain, because their position, they chose to go with the losing side. And at the end of the day, after Al-Khalifa collapsed, the Americans must leave Bahrain, because they supported the dictators who were shooting the people and the young people in Bahrain.
Right.
So the Bahraini people will not allow the U.S. government to stay in Bahrain.
Right. Ali Al-Ahmed, of course, one other thing is the impact it's going to have on the spirits of people, both in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Of course, you discussed what impact it's going to have politically on the two regimes. But we also have the issue of the uprisings in both countries, and actually the feeling and the mood of people to see their larger neighbor is sending in troops to hamper their efforts to reach democracy. What do you think is the mood that exists among ordinary people in Bahrain and in Saudi Arabia?
Well, people in the region are all calling for freedom and for the fact that they rule themselves. This might not be in the eyes of the White House in favor of the United States interest. In fact, it is that the people of the region will have the freedom to choose their government, the independence of their nation, and the people in that region want to be respected, want to be realized that we are worthy of freedom and democracy. We are worthy of ruling ourselves. So this message is becoming more real every day. And as people realize that it is right to rule themselves, the more the United States is losing ground in the Middle East, because the United States has so far supported the dictators until the last day. So you see now we can call it an awakening of the people. I don't want to use religious terms and say Islamic awakening, but the people in the region are awakening to a day that their freedom is is in their hand, and they will take their government back from the dictators. This also will affect Saudi Arabia itself, that the more because Saudi Arabia will be defeated in Bahrain, and this will enhance the power of the people inside Saudi Arabia to take back their government from the monarchy.
Okay, many, many thanks to you, Ali Al-Ahmad, director of IGA in Washington. I always appreciate your wise comments that you share with us here on Press TV. Thank you very much.